This episode of The Edge is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
Hey, this is Jeff Russo. I'm the composer from Star Trek Discovery, and you're listening to Trek FM.
What have you done out there on the edge of Federation space?
Welcome, listeners, to another episode of The Edge, Trek FM's dedicated podcast to Star Trek Discovery. I'm your host, Patrick Devlin, and join with me, as has been for a while now, the lovely Amy Nelson. Amy, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much, Pat.
Good, good. So we have a special reason for being here today, right?
We do. Don't get me started. Let me have another drink of wine. Let's just start there.
Okay, I'll drink my Glenfiddich.
Yes, cheers.
So, cheers. So we're coming to you here actually today because we are actually going to be saying goodbye to you listeners. We're going to be handing the reins over, and we didn't want to just like disappear. So, Amy, do you have anything special you'd like to say to the listeners?
Oh my gosh, you just like rip it off.
Yep,
like
jump
a
right
band-aid.
In there. Rip the band-aid off. Gosh.
Listeners, let me ease you into this.
No, we did. 3 episodes ago, I said we were leaving.
No, listeners, we have absolutely loved podcasting for The Edge. Discovery has been amazing. We've had 2 great seasons. And the interaction with you listeners, especially on the Babel Conference, has been so good. Watching Discovery season 1 and season 2 and the transformation and what's been happening with the 2 seasons and where it's going into season 3 is very exciting. But we will be stepping back from The Edge. But we have good news because The Edge is still going to continue. But we are going to be stepping back. In part for there's a couple of reasons, and I will share my reasons now, if that's okay, Pat?
Yes.
So with talking The Edge, we are, and I guess I should say I'm only able to talk Discovery, but I love all of Star Trek. And so I want to discuss all of Star Trek. I want to compare and contrast different episodes. I want to talk about Deep Space Nine, especially as I'm going through my rewatch, or, you know, talk about Enterprise or Voyager. Like, there's some amazing episodes out there that I want to contribute and to sort of place my voice into that fandom. But when I'm only talking Discovery, I feel a little bit limited. And so I want to expand that. And I don't feel like I can do that here on The Edge because it is so Discovery focused. You might know, listeners, that I have turned over postcards to Chris Littlefield, and he's doing a fabulous job. I'm just so happy that that is continuing. He's doing a great job. I love Chris. So I've stepped away from postcards, and now I'm stepping away from The Edge. Pat?
So, well, my reasons kind of mirror yours. And so first, as the listeners know, I just recently stepped away from Warp 5. Brandon and I stepped away together to go follow other projects we were doing. And and they're going well. They're you know, we're doing all right with those. And I do miss The Edge. And unfortunately, unlike you, Amy, and even Brandon, when I walk away this time, I'm walking away from hosting a podcast on Trek FM. I'll still be in the Babel Conference, and I'll still talk to people, but this is the last episode of a Trek FM podcast I will be doing for quite a while, most likely, if not ever. And there are many listeners that I will miss hearing from, even the ones that drive me crazy, Karen. She knows I like her.
Be nice.
I am. She knows I like her, but she drives me crazy. So I will miss that. But you can, you know, attack me on the Babel conference when I jump in with a comment now, I guess. I too am going to start another second project where I will be exploring Star Trek more with Amy, actually. So we will still actually be together, just not here. And but you know, I felt it was the right time to just step away from Trek FM as a whole. The amount of listeners is unbelievable. The amount of attention that the podcast gets and the comments and everything else is great. This is nothing to do with you guys for the most part, but it is, it's just time. I want to do my own things. I want to start new projects and I want to try them out, and I just don't have the time to do them all. If I did, I would, but I do hold two jobs and have two kids, so I have to pick and choose what I can and can't do. If you haven't figured it out, when I was on Warp 5, it was Brandy, Brandon, and I. Brandy left, then Brandon left, then I left. Now on the Edge, it was Amy and I. Amy left, and now I'm leaving too. I don't want to start over with other people. I enjoyed the time I had with the people that I was on with, and instead of starting over, I'd let new people take the reins and create their own Edge, their own Warp 5, and let that go where it may go, and stay out of their way. Because I feel if I stayed on too and someone else came in, it would kind of just be the same old with a new voice. But why not just let those people who step in, who you'll actually be meeting, the people who are doing the Edge right now. I'm still unsure who's going to take over the Warp 5 show, but let them have their own show and their own voice, and that's really all I have to say about it.
Yeah, it's been interesting because, you know, Chris Littlefield has taken over Postcards and he's done such an amazing job. And I'm like, why didn't I think of this? Why didn't I do this? Like, so to have these new perspectives and the newness that comes with it is only going to make the show better. And that's what we want. So we are going to turn this over to some amazing new voices, which I'm so very excited. I must say that we handpicked them and I'm so excited. You've heard them on Postcards. You've heard them in the Babel conference. They have been very active in watching Discovery and making comments. And so
heard them on the Edge.
Yes.
On the main show and another Edge show.
Yeah. So should we introduce our new host?
Yeah, because I literally can't say that any other way without giving away who the third person is here. Like, I can't do it. I'm only so clever.
So, listeners, we love you, but we are turning you over to great, capable hands. And that is our new host of The Edge. That is going to be Liam Smart, Nick Collinson, and Brandy Jackala.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi, guys.
Welcome, guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Amy and Patrick, for everything you've done for this podcast so far. And thanks for asking us to do this. It's such a great opportunity. I was just going to do, so before we kind of get into our part of the podcast, just something that I want to do, especially considering that we've got Liam and myself now, who are both based in Australia. So I just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands on which Liam and I are recording, those being the Kaurna people of the Adelaide Plains and the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to their elders past, present, and emerging, and we acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded. Liam and Brandy, how do you guys feel about taking over the Edge?
Oh, that's very exciting. I was on Edge 78 talking about time crystals, and I've been on a Postcards episode. And I will say that it's going to be very sad not listening to Amy and Patrick on my long drive to work every week.
Well, thank you for that.
Well, and I reached out to you, Liam, and just sort of put out a couple of feelers and...
You were forcing me into it, weren't you?
Oh, I twisted
that's the way I heard
your
it.
Arm.
I heard you didn't have a choice. You were doing this podcast whether you liked it or not.
No, I didn't. It was a case of life or death scenario, I think.
Well, I think listeners know that's sort of how I operate, because I'm assuming you're coming to STLV next year. That's sort of my running joke.
Apparently so am I.
I think Nikki is as well, are, and Pat. Brandy.
See?
No, I can't afford it now. I had to buy a new car, so there's not going to be any STLV.
Oh, I'm in that boat right now.
Yeah.
No.
Not going to be anything like
that. Oh, no, this has been a horrible week. Yeah, no, I got a letter that was a little bit of labor issue. I then had my car die, and then my dog.
I know. Don't.
All this week, like 3 days in a row. And then I left, this show the next day. That's the four things that's happened to me this week.
You need a hug, Patrick.
I know.
I do, and nobody's around.
I'm here in Vegas giving you sending hugs, virtual hugs. Yes.
So yeah, but I know you're paying about the car thing, Brandy. I'm broke.
Yep.
And I don't even have a car yet to replace the one I lost.
I'm so sorry. Yeah,
and I'm out of work.
Yeah. Oh.
See, I laugh not to cry.
Yeah.
So back to Liam with taking over the edge because you.
Yeah, follow that.
I was putting out feelers and I was like, Liam, you can take over the edge. You've been on the edge, you've been on postcards, you know about Discovery.
Yeah, Liam, you can do it. You've been on it once. Don't worry about it. You'll be great.
It's like, yeah, you need to buy everything.
I've seen a plane. I'll fly it.
I feel it's fine.
Oh, it'll be fine. No, it's an exciting prospect to take over the Edge, especially with Brandy, who's been on live from the Edge. So she's very knowledgeable about the Edge. And Nick as well, who's provided a very interesting episode on, well, not quite evolution, of the biology of Discovery. So as much as it is sad taking over from you guys, as in losing you, it's also very exciting for us, the network, and the listeners to start the Edge anew. Brandy, what about you? How do you feel about taking over the main show?
Couldn't care less.
No, Brandy. Okay.
Oh, man, and look at who we sucker with.
Okay, so, Brandy, you've been with us from the beginning because we remember back before we had Discovery, it was announced, and you and Bruce were going to do live, and then it was back in the day, so many people that are no longer with us. We're going to do the live show, and I was one of them.
By the way, she means not on the network. Yeah, she doesn't mean dead when she says that.
Yeah. So you've been with the Edge for the entire time.
Yes, I have.
So, but this will be like you're doing live and the main show.
Yes, and
so what was that motivation for that?
Me.
Because I just can't get enough Discovery, you guys.
I know.
I just can't get enough. I'll take any coverage I can get. And if I'm the one giving the coverage, even better. I'm not being sarcastic about that either. I know it sounds like I'm being sarcastic, but I'm not.
Most certainly did. No. It was like, no, Amy just made me do it too.
No. It was not forced in any way, shape, or form. So I just thought, I never thought that I would get that opportunity because I'm already on live and maybe people are going to get sick of hearing from me. But it's different when you have a show like the Edge main show because there's more preparation that goes into it, where with live, we've watched the episode hopefully twice. That's usually my modus operandi there. And then we just wing it. And there's no editing and there's no censoring of anything. And so we have to basically just have a discussion without really forming a lot of coherent points sometimes. If you've watched live, you understand. Sometimes there will be parts of the discussion where we're just like, how did we get on this? But I think that's true in any podcast. You can go off on tangent lane. But with the Edge main show, I think that there is more opportunity to take deep dives into things and to cover aspects of the show that we wouldn't ever cover on live because it's a reaction show. Whereas the Edge main show, there's just so much more to delve into, and I'm just itching to do it.
And so, Liam, you also brought in Nick Collinson, which we have had. I mean, I talk about him every single postcards because his comments are so good. And so we just had to get Nick on as well, right?
Yeah, so Nick always has the most fascinating comments on the postcards thread, and Chris and I spoke about it when we were doing our postcards episode for The Trouble with Edward, which wasn't a bad post. It wasn't a bad Short Tracks, by the way. It was a good episode of Short Tracks. But all throughout the season, no Patrick shaking his head right now, listeners. He's clearly disagreeing with me, but we'll just ignore that.
Except you did.
Nick's comments are always so interesting and well thought out that I thought he'd make a great fit for the show, and also because he's pretty much in the same time zone as me. Makes it easier to record. Brandy is in Utah, so that is a little bit more difficult to record. So it might be that one of us will disappear just because of time zone issues. Or Brandy might get stuck doing live when we're recording a main show, for example, but we'll just see how we go with that.
Yeah, it's good to have the rotation of hosts because at the inception of The Edge, we had four main hosts and then we were just going to fill in plus get guests to come on. So I like the rotation of that, and I think it's getting back to what the original idea of The Edge was. So I think that's really good, and I'm always happy to step in, and I would hope that maybe you might ask me back.
Of course. Yeah.
If you want cannon fodder, call me.
Oh, Pat, we're having you back. It might be depending on when season 3 of Discovery airs, because Nick is doing a PhD at the moment and I'm in my last semester of undergrad going into honours. It might be that season 3 episodes might air at just that awkward point in time that exams are happening and the final PhD thesis will be done. Final submission, yeah. So it may be that we need an Amy and Patrick to take over for an episode with Brandy.
Yeah. Yep. Yes, we're going to come back.
So we know how this works. They're going to call Amy and Amy's going to make me come on the show.
Well, of course.
Amy's not forceful at all. Gosh, that's the only reason why the three of us are here.
Well, I mean, no, she doesn't tell people what to do.
Ever.
I mean, I'm basically here because I get a message from Liam. I think it was a message from you at some point just confirming something about my my PhD so that you knew what to say about my comment on the postcards episode you were on. And then just a little while later, there was, hey, do you want to take over The Edge with me and be a regular host? And I think my reply was, yes, but...
I totally remember this.
It wasn't a preconceived, way into a conversation just to get you to take over The Edge. It was a case of I wanted to understand what your PhD was just in case I needed to talk about it on the postcards episode. But at the same time...
My headcanon is the other way around.
But at the same time, I mean,
it's the other way around.
Much like the listeners tell me constantly, I don't care what the writers say or the directors say. In my head, no matter what you say, you said that to him simply to find out if he could do it.
Maybe.
It makes for a better story.
All right, well, we'll use that. I mean, headcanon is sometimes better than real canon, let's face it.
Yes, that is true.
I use it quite frequently myself.
Yes.
At nighttime.
Someone just named this.
I thought that you were not going to bring that up. So please stop. Right there.
Oh, what? Bring what up? The standard nothing. Live joke?
No. No.
Okay. Listeners, you have to listen to live to find out what we're talking about.
It's See, that's what we do. We put in teasers so that you have to listen to another show to find out what
happened. There you go.
It's like comic book crossovers. We're having a big event over all of these comics, which is going to make you read comics that you never thought you'd ever touch.
Oh, thousands of dollars in comics I didn't need.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone usually mentions.
I don't need Black Panther's cousin's sister. I don't need that.
Batman and Scooby-Doo. I mean, from the postcards episode, that was interesting.
Sorry, what? Actually, I was about to say sorry, what, but then I've seen a cartoon of a crossover between Scooby-Doo and WWE wrestling. So, of course, Batman and Scooby-Doo exists.
I've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
There's an episode idea for the future. Discovery crossover with what is the most strange show you can think of?
Well, I mean, they've had wrestlers from WWE do cameos on Voyager and Enterprise. So, you know.
Sun Katsi.
Yeah.
Yeah, waiting to see, you know.
And Bugs Bunny was with Superman.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
gosh.
Yep. There have been some.
See, Tangent Lane.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm very
okay,
familiar
can we
with
get
it.
Back to Star Trek?
Good idea.
We could, but it's way better to talk about Archie
hey,
and Wolverine.
Star Trek and Green Lantern probably had a crossover at some point.
No,
so.
Wait, there was one. Hold on.
There was one. I saw it in the comic
book. Oh, there have been Star Trek crossovers with some.
I have the Star Trek X-Men book.
Nice.
There's a Star Trek X-Men thing?
There is cool. a Star Trek
yes.
X-Men.
Why do I not know about this?
Even I know about this.
Patrick, you have to send me this when we're off mic.
Planet X.
Okay.
It is called Planet X.
Of course
nice.
It is.
And the cover is the X-Men logo with Storm, Data, Worf, Wolverine, some green guy, and Riker. And then the insignia badge is the cover.
Nice.
But I'm still
just
sure
some,
Michael Burnham
some
will say something.
Oh,
yeah, because, yeah, I'm sure that no one's ever saved everything before. Picard.
That's why we need Burnham.
Picard. Sorry.
You know what? Thank you.
Brandy.
Because I'm so sick of people
you
being burnt out
not.
When this has been every show.
Picard
every
saved
other
the
iteration
universe.
Of Star Trek has been the same.
In
well,
all good
multiple
things.
Times.
Yeah.
Well, of course he did, but that was Q.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
but sure. Everyone can forgive it because it's Picard. Mm-hmm.
Don't.
I'm
not
totally on Brandy's
Picard
side
there.
I am not
no.
dissing Picard. I'm just saying that there have been other Star Trek characters who have saved everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's all
multiple
I'm saying.
Times.
That's all I'm saying.
No!
And he flew in a cruise ship.
There is...
I mean, Discovery could do with some good coffee.
Oh, that's funny. That's
Amy's going to kill us all in our sleep.
I am going to kill you all.
She's
I
already think, regretting making
yes.
us all do this.
Listeners,
I
you understand
cruise ship
where I'm
and I saved
right
the
now.
Universe.
Listeners, I mean, Amy was really worried we would not be able to take over the show and get a show out with all five of us on at the same time. She was freaking out, and now she regrets it.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
She was completely right.
Okay, so can we go back to the original idea of having a round table discussion? So can we get, like, general impressions of season one, season two, either the show or the actors? Because I think nowadays the actors play such an important role in what the show is, way more so than previous Trek. So, Brandy, let's start with you.
I think that everybody already knows that I loved Discovery from the beginning. And also my husband, Dave, who is not the biggest Trekkie, although we did watch parts of Voyager together, but that kept getting preempted by stuff, as did Enterprise. We tried to watch all of that together, but again, preempted, and we missed most of season three. And luckily, Netflix helped us out with that.
Season 3 and was the only good series of Enterprise.
I disagree, and don't start a fight
I
with
disagree.
Me right now. So.
It was the best, however. Yeah, it was the best.
It was the best. I will agree with that, but it was not the only good season. And I will fight
That's
anyone
true.
Who says otherwise.
Oh, these
yeah.
All right, Liam, look, it's my favorite show, and I'll just agree with you just to agree with you at this point. I feel bad just standing on an island.
Yeah, you're good. So
everything else sucked.
Yeah, I
season 4 was okay.
Okay. Anyway,
right,
as I was
back
saying,
to Brandy.
So Dave and I, this was the first time that we watched a Trek series regularly together. That wasn't, you know, that was first airing, and Dave really came to appreciate it as much as I did. Very quickly. In fact, Lorca is his favorite captain. So
He's awesome.
Yeah, and he did get to tell Jason Isaacs that when we were at FanX Fall. So, which Jason Isaacs, if you get the chance to meet him, just do it because he's amazing. So, yeah, season one, there was just so much for me to love. Every single actor on the show brought something special and different to the show. And I don't feel like it would have been the same with anyone else or without those characters. They all contributed. And then we get more expansion with some of the more background characters, although, you know, Bridge Crew aren't exactly background characters, but it did happen a lot too on other Trek shows where it's like, okay, this is a new person we've never seen, you know, in the navigation station, or it happened, but they started giving us more insights into those characters. But the big thing for me, especially in season one, was Tilly. Tilly was a miracle to me because I saw myself for the first time ever in a Trek character. And that meant more than I could have possibly imagined, because representation matters. It doesn't matter who you are or what you are or what your identified gender is, or if you don't identify as a gender, representation matters. And to finally have that after 50 plus years of Star Trek on the air, I get emotional about it even now. Even now, I still get emotional about it because it was just like, I have someone that represents someone like me for the first time. So, you know, I was in it for Tilly, even though I love all of the characters. I do love every single one of the characters. And season two brought me an even greater appreciation of those characters, especially Saru. I loved so much the character development with him in season two. I loved that there was so much more for him to do, that his relationship with Michael deepened, that his relationship with everyone else deepened. And I really just, I mean, I loved him before and I love Doug Jones. I look forward to the day that I can finally meet him in person. Come to Salt Lake, Doug Jones. All Discovery people, come to Salt Lake, please, 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 please. And, yeah, I'm not even going to touch Ethan Peck, although I would like to.
I think we all would.
Handshaking! Don't get dirty.
Oh, no. So,
because my favorite character in all of Star Trek up until Tilly was Spock. And I was not a fan of the Kelvin movies as a whole. And I love Zachary Quinto. I didn't like the interpretation of Spock. And I don't think it was Zachary Quinto's fault. I felt it was more writing forcing this romantic relationship with Uhura really bothered me. It didn't feel right. It just wasn't Spock to me. And then, you know, in season two, I was not actually excited. I don't know that I want to see this. And then I saw a picture of Ethan Peck with the Nimoy family and I went, oh, wait, who is this? Who is this? And then the first trailer for season two dropped and I went, oh, that voice. Okay. This might be all right. This might be all right. This might be all right. And then in the very first episode, we don't even see him except as a young child in flashbacks, but we hear his voice on a recording. And I'm like, okay, I'm done. This is fine. This is fine. I want more of this. Give it all to me. So. I just, he was, for me, he was a fantastic part of season two. I'm glad he was there. And I take back every worry that I had that maybe he shouldn't have been there, because it deepened the character even more for me. And I still have such a huge, 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 huge love for Spock. And it's even more now because of Ethan Peck. So thank you, Ethan.
That was beautiful, Brandy.
Yeah.
It was rambling.
if you think that's good. Beautiful, I forget what episode, but Brandy does her ode to Tilly in.
Oh, yeah.
That was beautiful. I don't remember what episode number that was. But listeners, go back and listen to that if you want to know how she really feels about Tilly.
Yeah, I was trying so hard not to cry when I did that. And I still
failed.
That was good.
You failed.
Brandy, well, I thought you were going to cry just then, so.
No, I'm actually holding back. I'm doing my best to not cry when I talk about
it. You're doing very well. Yeah.
So I can't promise that my eyes won't get a little watery, but I'm not going to full on cry. It's fine.
So, Nick, why don't you talk to us about, you know, how you have been enjoying Discovery, and also, like, why are you wanting to podcast and to be on the edge?
You had no choice.
Yeah, sure.
Feeling?
That's your arm.
I love the sound of my own voice.
Back.
No, so, I mean, I think I loved Discovery since before it came out, since the first teasers. I think, God, I mean, it's weird. I feel like even from, you know, the very earliest teasers where they had that, the very quick thing of like the early mock-up of Discovery flying out from that like starbase inside an asteroid, I thought, oh yeah, this looks pretty cool. And back then I was like, okay, a little bit disappointed that we're going like pre-TOS, because like I think most of us, I wanted to see like post-Nemesis sort of stuff, which we're getting now. We're getting Star Trek Picard, so we get everything. But as soon as they started revealing more, you know, like actual teasers about who was going to be in it, you know, the cast, the characters, the stuff that was going on, I started feeling very confident that it was going to be good. And I was not disappointed. Like, I was just watching everything that was going on, hearing them talking about what it would be about, you know, sort of the idea of the Federation dealing with the big war with the Klingons and stuff like that. And I was just thinking that it would be really interesting. And even from the very first episode, I thought it was great. I think all of the characters that we just saw in that from the start, I just thought they were wonderful. You know, I was sad to see, you know, Prime Universe Captain Giorgio go so soon, but at the same time, it was kind of, I guess, kind of expected with the way that it was all sort of built up. And yeah, like season one, I thought was brilliant. And I, you know, even occasionally I hear some people criticizing it, saying that it felt like there were sort of two different storylines put in together. I actually find that they work very well together, because I like looking at themes and sort of, you know, very kind of philosophical things like that. You know, despite being a scientist, I have a great love of kind of literature and arts, and really trying to dig into the themes in the media that we are consuming. So for me, the first season of Discovery is all about kind of how does utopia, or how does a sort of peaceful utopian society deal with a huge existential threat. And that's sort of your first half with the Klingon War. And then when they go to it's about or how much of themselves are they willing to sacrifice in order to defeat this threat. And then of course they go to the Mirror Universe and they see a version of themselves that easily and handily, you know, basically wiped out the Klingon Empire, but at far too great a cost to their own sort of morality. You know, you see them and they see the dark mirror of the Federation in the Terran Empire. So I love that. And that's the sort of stuff that I really kind of dig into, is seeing things like that. Which is why that weird, because season two, I felt that in a lot of the technical aspects, the writing and the acting and all that sort of stuff was stronger. Overall, I felt like the kind of running through theme was not as strong, but I still really loved it. And especially like Brandy said, I mean, all the stuff we see, especially with Saru's development and the character developments of all of the main characters and the growth of their relationships with each other through season two as well, is just, it was wonderful. It's such a sort of a, I guess, a dense, complex series with so much going on and so many, you know, interactions between the different characters and different themes, that it's just, yeah, I think that's what I've loved about it the most, and what I'm also most excited to see in season three, which no one knows what could happen. It's all completely uncharted territory. So I was originally kind of worried, but now I'm just excited.
Nothing I'll say will be as smart as you two.
So, Liam, I know that you have a passion for Voyager, but tell me, why is it that you, want to take over the Edge?
Again,
besides me asking you.
Yeah, exactly.
He was forced into it. He didn't have a choice.
Listeners, that is not true.
Plus, season 3 is going to be Voyager-like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we made that comment on a couple of episodes.
Two episodes ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll stop taking the mic. Go ahead.
What was the question? Why
do you want to do this?
Yep. Why do you want a podcast on the Edge?
Basically, what you have to do is you have to pretend Amy didn't make you do it and come up with a really good answer like they did. Because they clearly thought about how they were going to say, Amy made me do it without saying it.
Well, look, even if Amy didn't make me do it, if she told me she was leaving, I would have asked to do it because Discovery is, it's our new Trek. We haven't had Trek on the air on TV for, 12 years before Discovery then started again since the end of Enterprise. And it's always good to see a show like Star Trek, which always comes back to the stories that we're facing today, but shown 100 or 200 years in the future. And it's something that we need right now, especially what's going over on your side of the world and what's happening on our side of the world. I remember sitting outside one of the campuses at uni waiting for maths class to start and saw that there's going to be a new Trek coming out, and I literally freaked. I was by myself, so I probably looked like a right lunatic, sort of like flapping my arms around, getting excited. No joke, I was, because I'm a very animated hands person when I get excited. but I remember sitting there and freaking out, and then I messaged my partner and he was like, oh, that's exciting. But at that point, I don't think I managed to make him watch Voyager yet. He has now, and he loves Discovery too. But it's just new Trek, and it's continuing something that's been happening for 50 plus years. And as Brandy was saying, it brought a character onto the show, or two characters actually, that sort of represented me in a serious way. I mean, I know we had some same-sex stuff in Deep Space Nine with, the Mirror Universe, Dax, and was it Dax? No, Kira. But that was sort of almost as either a joke or for show, not necessarily in a serious way, which Stamets and Culber are like. So as I say, with Brandy, with Tilly, I am to Stamets and Culber. More Culber, because I now hate Stamets. But Stamets is not my favorite character, and I don't like his way of...
Probably shouldn't have led with that.
I'm being truthful.
You probably should have... You're going to get my treatment. You probably should have...
We know we're going to get your treatment. Stamets is not my favorite character, but I do love every single other one of them, each other character. Saru and Doug Jones especially. He's probably my favorite character of the whole entire show. I was watching Obel for Charon the other night, and I tweeted it for all my 18 followers, that Doug Jones done an absolutely amazing job with season 2 of Discovery. So I just want to talk about it. On a personal note as well, sometimes I come across quite introverted, and this is sort of a way for me to talk to people and get myself out of my shell a little bit more.
And I think you have. I mean, you've opened a Twitter account and
yeah, I still got 18 followers. Follow me.
That's me.
But how'd you get it up to 18? That's I want that secret.
18 Stamets.
No, it wasn't.
If it was hating things in Star Trek, I'd have a man.
I'm fairly sure that'll make sure
that
followers.
Can get you followers.
I told you I'm not as smart as you two.
Well, and though no one is going to believe me when I say this, I am an introvert. I am actually the introvert. I do not like being in large groups of people. So when I go to a con, it is a miracle. It's a miracle that I don't run out screaming with an anxiety attack. And I think part of it, though, is because it's nerds, you know, we're all on the same team.
I am very much the same in a lot of ways. I sort of, there's kind of 3 days of the year where I can manage to sort of turn it off and kind of with the help of coffee, about the only time in the year I ever drink it, flip to sort of extrovert. And that's for PAX Oz, the Penny Arcade Expo, where I just, yeah, when you get to, and it's because it's nerds, it's you're among, or among people who, you know, we know are going to have similar interests.
Yeah. And I've explained this before. Yeah. Yeah, con. I love going to cons, but they are exhausting. And that's the whole thing about introverts. Introverts are drained by being around other people and they recover by being alone. And extroverts are the opposite. Extroverts are energized by being around other people and they feel drained when they're by themselves. So that's the big difference between the two. It doesn't mean we're not friendly. It doesn't mean we don't like to be with people. We just don't want to be with all people at the same time.
Yeah, I am an introvert for sure.
So am I the only extrovert in this grouping of people talking?
See, right? I get drained around people and away from people. I can't be by myself.
Really?
But I also can't do massive amounts of people. Amy, what has been your favorite thing about Discovery?
Okay, that has, you know, that is a very good question. Thank you, Liam. Because I've gone back and forth with it, because I'm like so excited that we get new Star Trek, but then almost in a way of listening to the fandom and the community, I felt like sometimes it spoiled me. And I'm sad to say that because I've always enjoyed Star Trek. And I was just talking to a friend and was like, I didn't know that Nemesis was hated until I joined the community, because I have always loved Nemesis. And so to have Discovery and it's like, oh, this is a great episode. And then to do Postcards, oh, everyone didn't like it. So it's been a double-edged sword actually for me. It's been difficult talking about Discovery because so many people didn't really like it. And I feel like, gosh, this is such a good show, and it's new Star Trek, and it's something new that we get to discuss, and we get to build a community around something that we love, and it may be different, but it's still Star Trek. And so it has been difficult at times. Sorry to get so emotional, but it has been difficult in part because of the social media aspect that has never been, that I haven't experienced before.
So that's a real nice way of saying fans suck. And it's true.
No,
don't cut this one out on me. Because the fact is that loud minority is still just a minority. And it's existed for every Star Trek and every other major brand that's ever existed on television. I can show you everyone who hates TNG. It was in newspapers. How it's not my Star Trek. And now it's one of the most loved, if not the most loved, of all the series. The same problem with Voyager, the same problem with DS9, the same problem with Enterprise, which still sticks around, but a lot more people have turned over to going, huh, wasn't as bad as I thought it was. And it's happened with every version. It happens with wrestling. It happens with Lost. It happens with Star Wars. It happens with, I can keep going, but you get the point, right? Every new Terminator sucks until 4 years later when that one sucks more than the last one. So there's always going to be that small group. It's just now that we have the internet to see it, and because we're physically podcasting it each week, we get to hear the brunt of all of that, and it drives you crazy. I'll give you an example. For instance, in wrestling right now, there's a new company that came out. Cody Rhodes started a company to go against WWE, right? So now the fans of both AEW. Companies are comparing TV ratings. AEW, yeah. I watch it all the time.
I
love
need to
it.
Watch it.
AEW has beaten NXT every single week in ratings, which is great because I want the company to exist because I like the company. But guess what? It doesn't matter. We never talk about ratings in any other show, right? But this is the one thing fans can argue about, so they do. And that's just what happens. And it's probably at most 20% of the fans who are arguing about it, but they're so loud that you think that's the only thing people care about at the moment. But it's not. It's not, it never will be. There's 1,500 people. No, I'm sorry. I'm lying. That was Warp 5. There's about 2,500 downloads a week when these episodes would air, right? And there'd be four people complaining. Statistically insignificant numbers.
Yeah, the loudest people are often the ones that are the smallest in number.
Of course they are, because that's how they have to be heard.
I don't mind if one person is loud, as long as the feedback, positive or negative, is constructive. And that goes for everything.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but when it's, let me warn you now, then.
When it's not constructive. And you see that kind of thing on every single Star Trek post about Discovery. Oh, this should be cancelled, etc. It's like, well, you're not providing a reason why you don't like it. You're just being a hater. As such, and I use air quotes.
Welcome to the internet age.
Yeah, exactly. And if people don't provide a reason why they don't like it, just like providing a reason why you do like it, I think is also is valid. And we're always going to end up getting that.
I think that,
of course, we are.
I mean, the thing that for
go ahead, Nick. I'm sorry.
That's fine. I was just going to say. I mean, the thing that for me, at the end of the day, especially with Star Trek Discovery. And I mean, yeah, of course there are a lot of people who don't like it because it's doing a lot of stuff different and a lot of people just want to see the same old stuff again. For me, the thing that sort of makes me feel better, even when I see all of the hate and stuff lumped on it, and there are sort of almost entire communities devoted to hating on Discovery, you know, around other, you know, YouTube channels and stuff like that. And the ultimate thing that I see is, you know, every week, you know, when the show is airing, every week we get new Star Trek to enjoy, and they don't. They are still, you know, sitting there stewing in nostalgia for the old stuff. And we get all of it because I love the old stuff and I love Discovery. So, yeah, that's just my feelings about it. So I'm just like, look, we got this great new thing to enjoy, and they're wasting energy on performatively not enjoying it.
If you don't like something, don't watch it. Don't ruin it for other people.
Wait. I said that 2 weeks ago. Don't say that. Let them watch it. Just don't talk to me about it, because then it stays on the air.
Yes, that's true.
Good point.
Just, I said that 2 weeks ago, and honestly, really, if it was that bad, just stop watching it. But don't, please, because I want more. And if you keep watching, even if it's because you hate it, that's great. I don't care. They get a rating. The rating turns into a number, which means they get to charge advertisers and keep the show on the air.
Inadvertently keeps it on the air. Exactly.
Yeah, it's actually completely backwards. I'm sorry for all of you that I just ruined your lives, realizing that you're actually keeping on a show you hate. But as long as you keep watching and complaining to me, you're keeping the show on the air.
Yeah. So I think with Discovery that it is so different. That I think the people...
They've all been so different, though, Amy. They've all been so different.
Yes, they have. Yeah.
I can show you articles of how bad TNG is.
And those articles
came out before the first episode.
That's true.
So how do you know it's so different? How do you know it's so bad? You don't. You're just another one of these people who were going to hate it anyway. It's not like they're new people. They just get to talk to us now.
That's true. We do get to interact with the fans and the community a little bit more.
And but the haters.
Well, yeah.
Let's not leave them out. They'll get upset too, we're not talking about them.
But I think with the serialized storytelling, right? That's new. That's a different. That's something that I've had to adjust to.
Yeah, exactly. It did start in season three of Enterprise.
Yes, it did. Thank you, Patrick.
But I know Deep Space Nine proclaims to be that, but there's
well, they did
still
a little bit of
episodic.
It,
yeah,
season three of Enterprise was serialized.
Yes, yeah. Well, season
it wasn't serialized.
Season four was too, but they did more mini arcs than they did like the overarching story.
It wasn't quite as episode to episode,
but they still.
But season three was just like we have now, except it was 24 episodes, so they shoved a couple one offs in there and just tied them in front and back. Which is what they're saying they're going to do for season three of this show. I don't believe them, but that's what they're saying they're going to do. They said in the Comic-Con panel that they're going to have one-off episodes with tie-ins at the front and back of the episode, which is what they did in Enterprise. However, when you're only down to 14 episodes, 12 episodes, whatever, you don't have the time to do one-off episodes.
It's all going to be serialized. Yeah.
I love serialized.
Yeah, I know. And you don't like that, but I actually do. That's one of the things I like about this show. And
it's more complex.
So I happen to like this form of television. And if you don't like it, and you, no, I'm not talking to you, Amy, because I know you can get past it and still enjoy the show. But for those who can't enjoy it, period, because that's the way it is, turn the damn TV off. All right, I don't mind the haters, but if in all seriousness, my favorite thing, I could piss the haters off here with my next statement, but I'll be nice.
Thank you.
What? I like Burnham. It's my favorite thing. The fact that it drives people crazy is even better, because literally every show is focused on one person, and it's not till now that people complain.
Yeah, no, you see, I...
Yes, it has.
No. What I'm going to... No, I'm going to say something. I don't dislike Burnham, and I don't disagree with you saying that every show has been focused on one person all the time, but both seasons of Discovery have had such massive consequences or things to for her. I wouldn't say for her to fix, because everyone does fix things, but the whole, she's the reason for fixing things. Like, she's the reason that all sentient life will survive. That is a massive thing. You know, and the reason that the whole world, the whole universe ain't going to be destroyed because of whatever was happening to the network or whatever happened in season one. They're huge things. But Picard only saved the universe once from memory, and Janeway never saved the universe. And they're all smaller things which are more palatable. That's what I feel.
Okay, but if you're writing a show and you're not focusing on the captain, you have to make the stakes extremely high.
No. No, you don't.
Yeah, no. You do.
No.
I wouldn't be that interested, because she wouldn't be saving small, minor things. The captain would.
You could say
that's just storytelling.
No, see, I disagree with that.
No, yeah. I completely
If you're doing
disagree.
The same things they did in all the other shows, all the iterations,
no.
You'd Listen. Be focusing on the captain.
Think about a large corporation. Like, the major CEO, they're only going to handle the major big issues. But the smaller fires that could be consequential are going to be handled lower level. And you can totally have that. Michael Burnham could be putting out fires left and right that never get to Captain Pike.
But then it would only be on the ship, and I don't care what happens on the ship individually.
Well, I get that it's a TV show, but...
No, that's not what I mean. If it happens outside the ship, if the consequences are outside of the ship, which every captain has had to deal with, right? I mean, that's what makes the show interesting. Then you have to be focusing on the captain.
But
Michael Burnham's not negotiating with other races.
The
Michael
show
Burnham
isn't about
is not deciding where they drive. Correct. So it has to be that the stakes are higher.
I think it wouldn't bother me so much
it has if to be.
It were Tilly or Saru that was the one that had to be in the time suit. I just think, because it had to be Michael Burnham, I just think that's just slightly irritating. Just because
I don't know, for me, I...
But no, I'm not even trying to sound like a jerk. I don't understand why Michael Burnham is the problem.
She's not the problem. I don't have a problem with her. It's just the writing's always that... She is the one to be the savior.
Yeah, she's the chosen one.
She, in a way, it's almost like she is the chosen one.
And she is.
And yes, she's the lead character, but for Saru to be the one who has to go in the time suit, that doesn't necessarily need to be the lead character. It can still be one of the supporting or the largest supporting cast.
Yeah. For me, that would take away from the story.
Really, though? I mean, it would take away from the story if it's Bryce or Reese, for example, because they're severe background characters, but for it to be Tilly or Stamets or Tyler or Saru.
But we had other things happen that didn't revolve around her, like the fact that they went and got Culber out of the network.
True. Yeah.
It's not like it's
but
all
it's not
her.
All sentient
we're gonna like
And I think that's what the only thing that bothers me is that it's like a huge thing.
Again, I'll defend that with, if you're going to use someone as your focus that's not the captain, the stakes better be high or you're not holding my attention.
But if it's not the captain, then shouldn't the stakes be proportional to that level?
I don't care what the mid-level manager at Pepsi has to do with his day all day. I don't care.
Okay.
So, I mean, I care what the CEO does.
But she's not the CEO.
But if the mid-level manager at Pepsi could destroy the universe with a fireball, I'm interested.
This is actually really interesting because, Liam, I think I've mostly agreed with you, especially up to now, because I like all of the characters in the show
except Stamets.
I think he likes Stamets. I'm trying to put my opinion on you now, sorry.
I didn't at the start, especially because I'm a scientist and I'm a little bit sick of the like grouchy scientist stereotype, but of everyone, I think
wasn't the real Stamets a grouchy. Wasn't the real Stamets a grouchy scientist?
Well, he was at the start. He got a bit better.
No, I mean the real one. Like that's a real scientist.
I actually don't know. I
have a friend who met him, and I think it's somewhat okay. Accurate. Don't quote me, but I believe it's somewhat accurate.
but then, Patrick, with what you were just saying then about kind of the stakes, and you know, like if it weren't about Burnham being sort of the kind of the best and saving the world and everything, then how else would you do it? I think you might be sort of swinging me around to that point of view. I hadn't really thought of it that way before. Because out of all the characters, I would have said that possibly Burnham was my least favorite. But the emphasis there being on least favorite, because there's not really anyone that I dislike.
The listeners heard you hate her.
Yeah,
but
gonna have to get used to that.
They did. But the more important part here is it doesn't matter because you're allowed to have whatever opinion you feel like in this thing. I just need high stakes. If it's not going to be a captain, I need high stakes. And that's what I like. And that's why I've heard this Burnham burnout argument since whatever. And they said it first to me on the episode. And I said, I understand why you would feel that way. And I get it. I get why everyone feels that way. How it's like, oh, well, it's too much on her, but I enjoy it. And I don't think I would like it as much if it was just, she saved the ship. Okay.
Not everyone feels that way, Patrick. I love Michael Burnham.
Well, you haven't. Well, thank you.
I have loved Michael Burnham since the first two episodes. And I love that she's this prodigy that you think is going to be this amazing officer. And she mutinies and goes to prison at the end of the second episode. This whole thing is the story of her redemption. And she's figuring out who she wants to be and what kind of person she wants to be and what kind of impact she wants to have on the world around her. She is not just, it's not just the name of the ship. It is her personal discovery.
And you've kind of sold me on that. Actually, I do love that aspect of it, of her character and of the show. Because in a sense, that's there for a lot of the characters as well.
Yeah. Can everybody's say, going through a discovery.
Can I just say, I don't dislike Burnham.
Yeah, just we know that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think you dislike her.
Yeah.
You just don't necessarily agree with my point on her, and which is fine.
Yeah, I don't dislike her.
There are people who do dislike her, but I don't think anyone here is one of those people. But I don't know. My favorite part of the show is Michael Burnham. I like a lot of characters. I don't like the direction they took Tilly. Sorry, Brandy. It's not my cup of tea. I really liked the actress, and I really liked the way it was going and whatever. I like Saru a lot more now after the change than before the change. I happen to like Stamets. I do like Culber a lot. I really liked Pike and everyone from the Enterprise, but my favorite part of the show was Michael Burnham.
Fair enough.
To me, it's different. It's a strong leading female, which we had in Voyager, but who's not a captain.
Yeah, this is the first time.
The fact that she's not the captain.
Yeah, it's the first time that a Star Trek show of this nature has not been focused on the commanding officer of the ship.
See, that goes back to me saying that the Discovery is different. And you were like, but no.
I didn't say it wasn't different. I said they've all been different.
They have all you said, no.
Actually, they've all been different.
Yeah.
TNG was significantly different than TOS. And Deep Space Nine took place on a space station. That was a first.
Totally
and Voyager different. Happened. Yeah, and Voyager happened by itself, and that was a first. And then you had Enterprise, which happened before all of this, so that was different. They've all been different. And that's a good thing, because I don't want to watch TNG, as much as I love it, for 50 years. I don't. I'm sorry, Amy. I don't want the same stories.
I would watch it for 50 years.
Okay, well, let me change that then. I don't want to watch TNG with 10 different casts for 50 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give me either TNG or a new show. Don't give me something that's trying to be TNG on a new show.
Totally agree.
And I'm picking on TNG to make fun of Amy at the moment. That's true of every version of Star Trek. You name the Star Trek you love the most, I don't want to watch it again with a new cast. I don't. And that sounds kind of phony because I like 2009, but I like 2009 because they changed timelines to make it slightly different. And more importantly, I like 2009 because it brought fans like my wife and people who were not into Star Trek into Star Trek. And I don't care how they brought them in, as long as they brought them in.
Yeah, I've made that argument several times that though I need a donut.
Dunkin' Donuts down the block.
I want a donut.
Yeah,
Dunkin' Donuts right
down
the block.
Let's go on a Krispy Kreme run. Okay, so though I do not like the Kelvin timeline movies for the most part, I actually did like Beyond. I love that they reinvigorated interest in Trek. And I will never, ever fault them for that. So, it's fine. I'm happy that other people like them. That doesn't bother me. It just wasn't the same experience for me. But it reinvigorated this interest, and I don't know if there would be Discovery now were it not for the Kelvin timeline movies. I can't say for sure one way or the other, but it didn't hurt. It certainly didn't hurt.
Mm. No. And yeah. I believe, obviously, I don't know anybody. I don't have any inside track. I don't believe there would be a Discovery without it. Because I believe the fact that they brought in the fans said, ooh, we can make some money too. Look, at the end of the day, it's a business. It's about making money. They're not doing this because five of us want to talk about it. That's not why they're doing this. They're doing it to make money. And when 2009 made money, they did it. But wow, it's amazing. Like, Brandy had a rational response to a show she didn't like. Like, I don't like it, but other people do. Yeah, okay.
That's what I do. I don't shame people for not liking I don't shame people for not liking things that I like or liking things that I don't.
Or vice versa.
We all have different opinions, different strokes for different folks. It's an opinion. We all have them. And there's no right or wrong.
We wouldn't have Justin Ozer if it weren't for the 09 films, like the Kelvin timelines. That's what brought him back to Star Trek. So,
yep, exactly.
My wife has never enjoyed an episode of Star Trek till 09. She may have never watched one either. But the fact is, she's watched every episode of Discovery and every Short Trek since then. And she's watched all of TNG, most of DS9, all of Voyager, all of Enterprise, and a little bit of TOS since then.
Yeah. My partner has, never, she's watched every episode of Discovery with me. And, before then she had never watched any Star Trek, Star Wars, just wasn't really into science fiction in general. Still isn't really, but, she saw how excited I was getting about Discovery coming out. She's like, "Oh, I'll watch this with you," and she did. And even she, as a non sci-fi fan, can find things to like in this show. So I think that was awesome.
So Brandy, I'll talk to you. You're the one who seems to be able to answer.
Okay, yeah.
you plan on dropping every other week when the show's
That's
not
what
on?
We're planning.
Okay, you planning on dropping every week when the show
that
is on?
That is indeed what we are planning.
That's the future of the Edge, ladies and gentlemen.
Listeners, if you know
what
me,
did you want me to say?
And you know Patrick, you understand that I would have taken this completely different.
Yeah, and it would have been 25 minutes, and we've been here for 3 hours now.
Oh my gosh. So, The point being,
I mean, they're only getting 7 minutes of it, but we've been here 3 hours.
Is that the Edge is going to continue. We did not want to leave without having a backup. We wanted to make sure that you listeners would be getting the content that you deserve about Discovery, about the topics and what we love and what we don't love, and the new things that are coming out, especially with season 3, because that's very exciting. We got this season 3, you know, trailer at New York Comic Con. I'm sure we're going to be getting a few more things as Picard goes through. When do you think we're going to get season 3? Just wanted to throw that out. Nick?
I'm kind of hoping that it's not, that it's actually not until after next July, because then I'll have finished my PhD and actually have enough time to really get into it and talk about it.
So you're still saying 2020?
I think we will get it next year. I actually think that that's probably accurate. I think it'll be late next year.
That's pretty optimistic. Okay. Liam?
I'm going to say August.
Mm-hmm.
August 2020. We've got Picard. I don't think they want to go straight into Discovery. I reckon they want to leave it a good maybe 2 months, 3 months, because I'm not entirely sure we're going to get Lower Decks in 2020.
I mean, if you think about it, we're going to have, what, 6 short treks? And we had 4 short treks last time. So if that's the pattern, I'm thinking 6 to 8 short treks. Next time.
Well, between Picard and the start of next.
Right.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually. We might get that.
Yeah. Brandy, what do you think?
Well, I've already actually said this on live. I think it's going to be September of 2020. And from what producers and such are saying, it is going to be 2020. That is the last thing that I heard. So I'm guessing September.
She stole my guess.
I'm sorry. Just great minds think alike.
There you go. There you go.
All right. Because I think September too. I don't necessarily know we're going to have short treks between Picard and Discovery.
I don't know either.
I think short treks is going to be a 1 year thing. It's going to be short treks, Picard, Discovery.
That'll be
short treks or lower
it'll
decks.
It'll be a summer thing with the short treks. Short treks will be a summer thing.
Well, summer for you.
Yeah, summer in the real world.
summer in the southern hemisphere, my dear.
Yeah, because Christmas at 85 is a great
85?
Day.
We had Christmas at 109 the other year.
Oh, I can't do that.
Yeah, it was. I'm totally guessing, but it was 43.
Ooh, that was a while ago.
43, 80. Yeah, you were about right. You have to double and add 35.
Something like that.
32. Yeah, 31 and a half.
Yeah, right. So.
Rough math.
I feel like it will be a winter your side, a summer our side, just because it's the slow time of year for TV. I'm assuming that's the same over there. It is for us over here.
You know what? Yes, but it's not supposed to be. TV has gotten slow now at this time, but it's not slow. Historically speaking, TV picks up in September.
September, yeah.
And runs through till May, June, depending
on
the show.
Yeah, but they have like a hiatus during.
Yeah
but they,
like from Thanksgiving like to Christmas.
Yeah, but. Yeah. Historically, we didn't have that.
No,
nonsense.
True.
That started like 5, 10 years ago.
That's
I'm only speaking from an Australian TV perspective. Like, they just take everything off the air at this time of year, don't they, Nick?
Yeah.
Do they? Well, I guess it's the same because everything comes off TV for our summer. So this is your summer,
so it makes sense.
Your TV would be flipped from us. I mean, I know you're the real world, but they produce the show.
We're literally on the edge.
Pat, you're going to close this out.
I am. I wasn't going to, but sure. Anyone want to give final thoughts? Brandy?
I'm excited to be on the main show, and I look forward to delving deeper into the topics that we only get to touch on lightly on live.
Awesome. And not having a ridiculous episode like this. Nick, any final thoughts there?
Yeah, this is going to be fun. You are going to get so many really deep philosophical dives, from someone who is
Nobody believes that after listening to this.
Not at all qualified to talk about philosophy, but hey, maybe I'll sprinkle in some biology knowledge every now and then.
Liam, what's your final thought?
Give us a go.
Right.
That was the Australian way of saying, please listen to us after this.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You couldn't have said it better.
No. It's exciting to take over the edge from you guys. As I said at the beginning, it's going to be sad not hearing you in the car on the edge. But, yeah, for listeners, give us a go. We're not going to be as incoherent as we may have been today.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, I am speaking for myself. Thank you very much, Brandy. But
you don't listen.
And I'm looking forward to season 3.
So, Amy, what's your last final thought on the edge?
Oh.
Don't cry.
Hey, leave her alone. She can cry if she wants.
It's her party.
And she'll cry if she wants to.
And she is.
Cry if she wants to. We're just trying to buy time for you, but we're running out of things to
say. Thank you. Okay. It has been, when I was asked to join the Edge, I was so honored and very happy to join in. And I jumped on postcards, and that really meant a lot to me because I got to really understand what the listeners of the Babel Conference were feeling about each of the episodes. And and then doing the main show with Pat has been amazing. We have disagreed so many times, probably more often than not, but that has only allowed me to enjoy Discovery so much more because I get to see it from so many different perspectives. And that's what I feel like Postcards and the main show has done. Like, I can see Discovery for just my simple reactions of, oh, I liked it, it was good, and then analyzing it a little bit more. And I feel like that has really enriched how I feel about Star Trek and my Star Trek fandom. I have really enjoyed the Babel Conference and the listeners that have reached out to us so many times. And I don't mean to get so emotional. I'm so sorry about this. But I really have appreciated discussing at length each episode and what we hope for the future and what we hope to see and what we do see and the many perspectives that has taught me to be a better person and how I view society. And how I want the future to be. And as a teacher, that's all I want for my kids. Like, I want them to have a better future. And I feel that Star Trek has the means to get that. And I really am so thankful for what Discovery has brought now in my fandom, compared to what it was, 20, 30 years ago with the Next Generation. It's been so wonderful to compare and contrast. And I'm just so grateful to have had my voice to interact with the fans on the Babel Conference and with my co-host here, obviously, Patrick. So thank you, listeners.
I should have went first. That's rough to follow. I'm not quite as emotional and just in general. So, and I've been numbed a bit this week. So, what I would like to say, though, is that this being my last final thoughts, I've had fun, poking some of the listeners who poked me during this last year and a half or whatever. And if I upset you, I'm sorry. It's not my intention. If I'm bringing you up, it's because I do actually value your opinion, even if I disagree with it completely. And there are other people who I may not have mentioned that I've talked to a lot over the time. And you know who you are because we've spoken in private message over the last year or so, whether it be from this show or because of this show and Warp 5 or whatever. And this is a little hard for me because I am leaving Trek FM completely now. So I will not have that interaction with the listeners, and I hope to keep in contact with you via private message or the Babel conference or whatever, even after I leave. But, you know, I understand, you know, life gets in the way and stuff, and people fall out of contact with each other, and it's upsetting, but it is part of life. So, you know, I thank you for listening. I thank you for downloading my podcast every week. And, you know, when Brandon left after season one, I kind of threw my hat. I would say I threw my hat in the ring, but I kind of bashed Amy with it because I really wanted to be on the show with her. And, but she didn't say no. So, thankfully, you know, thank you, Amy, for letting me be here and be your co-host for the second season and for just before and just after that. And we've actually grown to be really good friends through this process. I mean, to the point where we were joking about it before, but I did have Amy at my house. She has met my wife and kids. A listener, Christy Littlefield, has been to my house and had dinner with us as well. So some of these bonds I've made, I will keep forever, and I will always appreciate them. Some of the people that I don't talk to again, I will still appreciate what your opinions were and our friendships through that time. And I'm going to miss being on Trek FM, but, you know, I want to do other projects, and I hope they're even a quarter of as successful as these have been. So, you know, I'm sure we're leaving you in very capable hands, and, you know, Liam says no, but I'm positive of it. And, you know, maybe they'll have me back once in a while so you guys can yell at me some more. And, you know, we'll get there when we get there. But thank you for this time. Thank you for your reactions. Thank you for your responses. And most importantly, thank you for caring enough to listen enough to have a response. You know, that's the most important part here, is that you cared enough to even think to have a response. Because people, you can hear things all the time and just wash them away and ignore them. But even if you were arguing with me, you were caring enough about what I had said to even formulate an argument. So thank you. And I guess that wraps up what I have to say about that.
Well, and I do want to say, listeners, Pat and I will be continuing. However, we'll be on the United Federation of Podcasts, the UFP network. And one of the reasons why we are stepping away from The Edge is that we're going to start a new podcast, but that's going to allow us to talk all things Trek. So with The Edge, we were only, you know, allowed, if you will, air quotes, to talk about Discovery. And like when I'm on Earl Grey, which listeners, you will continue to hear me on Earl Grey. Don't worry, I will never leave Earl Grey. I love the Next Generation, but I talk about Next Generation. But on our new podcast starting in January, that's going to be All Good Things. And we're going to talk about all of Star Trek, and we're going to compare and contrast episodes and, you know, really get to dive deep into the multiple series and the philosophies and what Star Trek has about society. We get to get into all of that and not be so restricted on the specific series, but get to meld them all. Right, Pat?
Absolutely. And if you think we fought on The Edge, you should hear when we're going to talk about TNG and Enterprise and which one was better.
Oh, yeah. We know who will win. That's
yeah, me. I got that in first. So, yeah. All right. So, Liam, where can people find you on the internet if they want to reach out to you and your 18 listener followers?
Yes. If you want to be follower number 19, you can find me on Twitter at LS74656. You can find me in the Babel Conference. And also, I think when this airs, I will be a host of To the Journey with Zachary Fuling and Suzanne Williamson.
And Nick, what about you? Where can people find you?
So I am also regularly on the Babel Conference, especially anytime an episode has been released. I love getting in there and just talking about all of the deeper meanings and themes. You can also find me on Twitter, at Punk Zoologist. And also on Instagram, which is at Punk Rock Zoologist.
And Brandy, you know the drill. Where can people find you on the internet?
Places. Twitter.
Places,
yeah, Twitter. Brandy.
Twitter, Babel.
Things, Facebook. All those things. Brandywine12 on Twitter. I lurk in the Babel Conference. I do a podcast with my husband called the Dark Corner Podcast at darkcornerpodcast.com. You can hear me swear on that one if you like. We just talk about our nerd stuff, but through a bit of a darker lens. And those are the places you can find me. And Live from the Edge. Live from the Edge. Everybody, Live from the Edge. When we have new short treks or when we have Discovery running. Live from the Edge. Usually Friday nights.
That is funny. Yes. So they'll be able to hear you everywhere that day.
They're going to be just running me out of town.
Brandy
exactly.
Overload.
Exactly. They're just be like, shut up.
It could be way worse.
Just shut up.
It could be way worse. It's Brandy burnout.
Yep. Yep. It's going to be that.
All right. Well, thank you guys for coming on to take this. Cause I'd say coming on as guests, but you're not. This is yours now. You know, you're just kind of letting me do the honors of my last closing. So, and thank you for that too. So, it's been fun talking about the future of the Edge today, but this isn't the only thing we've been discussing on the network. So, here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, continuing mission.
Why they killed that officer. What they have to do with Project Perseus.
Can I just throw my 2 cents worth in and say, I know
it.
Who they are. They're Smurfs.
Oh, if only.
From the planet Smurfia. Tell me I'm right.
If you insist. Sure, you're right. You're right. You're not, but I'll tell you.
Oh, no. I've ruined it. I've ruined it for everybody.
So, yeah, that's the first mystery. And then a series of other mysteries happen as it becomes clear that on at least one other of the visionary class ships that have now, they're now well on their way outside Federation space, that there was a saboteur.
Mm.
Earl Grey.
But he also, you know, the first day of shooting, I shook his hand and I said, Mr. Nimoy, you seem to think I know what I'm doing here, but I like really don't. And he had said to me in the audition for the Vulcan Mystique, think 1,000 years of wisdom behind the eyes. And I thought, oh my goodness, that's a tall order.
Yeah, that's a lot to put in the eyes.
Literary treks.
We're not messing around anymore. The reset button is gone. Characters' lives are going to move forward. Fortunes are going to change. When things happen, you can take it seriously. It's not all just going to get forgotten by the time the next book comes out next month. This is going to be something that is going to carry forward and is going to have lasting repercussions on all of the literary books, not just the ones written by Mac, not just the ones in this particular subseries. But by joining them all together and having nods to the Star Trek Corps of Engineers, to Voyager, to DS9, to Enterprise.
Standard Orbit.
We've had some various folks and, you know, guest star roles and things that had passed here and there, you know, the last year or so. And all of that is sad. But when somebody who is really a part of the foundation of what Star Trek is and what it became, it really hits you kind of hard.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all these shows. Okay.
You ruined our last trance.
I know.
Sorry, it's usually me. Go ahead.
Sniff. Check out all of these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcast. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they are published. And please leave us a star rating and written review.
If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, YouTube, in most third-party apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it will come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and select the Edge. That will come right to me. You can also find the network on Twitter at trek.fm and on Facebook at facebook.com/trek.fm. So, Pat, where can people find you when you are not... What are you not doing?
The Edge.
When you are not podcasting The Edge. Oh. Well,
unfortunately, there'll be a lot of places to find me not podcasting The Edge moving forward. But I will still hang around the Babel Conference. I will be on All Good Things with You on the UFP Network. And also on the UFP Network, I will be doing Mickey's Marvels, where we cover Disney movies in long form. We are also covering The Mandalorian as it airs. And we're just going to go over some of the things that are on the Disney Plus network, because I just want to. Now, it should air around the same time as this episode. We are actually breaking format and doing a movie not Disney on Mickey's Marvels.
What?
Yeah, so right after this, I'm recording Avengers. After that, tomorrow, I'm doing Mandalorian. And next week, Chris and I are going to be covering All Dogs Go to Heaven. And that is actually a DreamWorks movie, I believe. I don't know. It's not a Disney movie, though. And we're going to cover that simply because of what's been going on lately. And because I'm watching that with my daughter so she understands life. And Chris agreed that it's okay to do a non-Disney movie. So we'll be covering that. And that will be probably the only non-Disney movie ever cover. So Amy, where can people find you when you're not getting all the mail that's coming to Liam, Nick, and Brandy?
Well, when I'm not doing that, you can still listen to me on Earl Grey. And that is our dedicated podcast to The Next Generation. That is with my good friends, Joe Keegan and Justin Ozer. You can find me on UFP, obviously, with Pat, like you said, on All Good Things, where we're going to be talking about all the good Star Trek that's out there. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Amy Nelson, and I, of course, will still be on the Babel Conference.
Oh, and one last thing. If you don't want to listen to any Disney stuff, try to check out episode 6 of Mickey's Marvels. It's my son's debut, and he's only 9.
Oh, it was so wonderful. Yeah,
he gets a kick every time I tell him the comments that people have given me about his episode. Oh, good. So, yeah. Ironically, his mother hasn't listened yet.
Shame on her. That was so good. Right when I was done, I was like, I messaged you, Pat, and I was like, oh my gosh, Mike is so cute.
I got like 3, like back to back, like within 10 minutes of each other. It was you, yeah. Chris, and Brandon. Nice. And you all had listened right around the same time. And yeah. I was showing him the comments, and he got a real kick out of it. So please check it out. Even if you don't want to hear me talk about Disney, he talks about Nightmare Before Christmas.
And he does a good job.
Yes, he does. He explains it. He gives like fan theories. He goes crazy with it.
I know.
It was good.
It was so cute.
But if you'd like to help us keep all our shows coming to you each week, you could become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm. To get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more. Available through our special patrons website, Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
We would also like to thank those...
They're just associate producers this time. We didn't... Yeah. We don't have a topic to shove them into. They're not becoming new hosts.
Our associate producers... Like,
could you imagine 13 people doing this show?
Who are still sticking with us at the Edge. And they are Norman C. Lau, Tony Robinson, Thomas Puleo, Lisa Slack, Shoaib Mirza, Richard Rutledge, James Modreau, Cornelia Voitner, Ryan Millett, Chris Trebizio, and Brian Malosh. Thank you for supporting Trek FM and especially The Edge.
Thank you for listening. And join them next time to see what's happening on the edge of Federation space.
But that's really only the major networks anymore.
I think your island should be pushed closer.
Make it easier to time.
I can't get there with a plate trip that takes how long it takes.
Tell
to get
Amy
there.
This about us coming to STLV.
No, Amy, that's not fair. It's like a 7-day trek in air.
We're coming. We are all coming to STLV.
We are not able to afford that. We had a new car happen.
Forget that. They have an 8-day trek.
Guest room. Nick and I live on the edge of Federation.
There's more expenses than just a guest room. It's taking off work. It's getting there.
This show is taking on a whole new meaning. They literally live on the edge.
They do. They live on the edge
of Federation space.
like we should all chip in and push the island closer.
Liam's already tried that.
Well, we need a ship with a good tractor beam.
I mean, seriously, what is it to get to?
It's
something like 26-hour plane flight to get to America or something like that?
It's about a 14-hour flight from here to the West Coast. And usually it would be that, you know, if I wanted to go to like New York or something like that, I would fly to either LA or San Francisco or maybe Dallas. I think that's one of the longest flights possible, and then get a connection. So yeah, all told, it would be.
Yeah, so to get to my house, it would take you 24 hours.
And then I've got to get from Adelaide to Melbourne or Sydney first.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but see, if I come to visit you, it's the same scenario.
Except he's got to leave now for STLV. Like, he's got to pack right now. Get on a plane and start heading here.
Also, you're not going to remember it because we've got good wine regions.
Yeah,
so you're not going
to
remember it.
You realize that.
I know, I'm going to come.
Liam's got the Barossa Valley. I've got the Yarra Valley.
Oh, yeah, the Yarra Valley.
But it's terrible because I can leave in the summer, but then it's winter there. That's no good.
Yeah,
winter's
terrible.
Yeah.
I know.
You honestly, I think you want to be here in our
March.
Or yeah, in like our early autumn. Yeah.
In March? I can do that.
You do realize that you're going to take off 3 weeks of work for that though.
No, 1 week, that's all I got.
I got 1 week you have off. Yep, and then the week before that to get there and the week after that to get home.
Welcome to Trek Travelog. I am your host, Brandy, and today we have with us Amy.
But I'm going to Santiago, Chile.
Episode of The Journey.
Not even close to the same.
Yeah, I know. We need the, in the Delta Quadrant.
We basically are.
If you're an Apple user, I feel like my mouth is not moving.
It's the wine talking.
That's good wine. What wine was that? I want that wine. I want to drink what you're drinking.
Okay. Nick, help me out here. All right.
I walked home a mile with as drunk as I was yesterday. You can't even say Apple users.
Okay. If you're an Apple user, be sure to check out... Guys,
wah.
Liam, stop. Okay, I'm serious now. Let me have another drink.
Oh, that's like Amy, you're chewing gum face right there.
That was.
That is. I know about that.
I caught two students today, just so you know.
Good for them. They've probably been doing it for a week.
Check out all of these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user...
I don't even know what set her off that time.
It was Liam. It was Liam.
I was literally reading the script.
What was I doing?
Liam. Okay.
Just turn off the video.
Okay. I can do this. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button on Apple.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
See how professional we are? You see how professional this is? And you're worried about putting on a good show. You see the shit show we're doing here?
This completely unedited.
Wow.
What's ironic here is that's usually me.
I know.
This is totally backwards.
I know. This is bass ackwards. Okay.